Yesterday, there was a deportation of Zimbabweans from the United Kingdom. Originally, it was 50 people that were intended to be deported. But after some legal fight, some got injunctions, some removal directions were deferred, and some had other reasons why they could not be returned to Zimbabwe. There was also a last-minute case that went into court around 6 p.m. UK time, and around 8:30 it was finished, which said that Zimbabwe, the charter flight can proceed ahead, but people that had been interviewed for travel documents by the Home Office personnel are at risk of persecution if they get to Zimbabwe. So the charter flight was scheduled for 10 o'clock, but I think the judge said it can leave after 10:30 to give a chance to anyone who was on board who was interviewed by the Zimbabwean authorities in the UK to leave the plane and then to return to the detention center. I think they did that process. Most lawyers, including ourselves, who then tried to get in touch with the people that had been intended to leave the country, but because when they leave the deportation center, their mobile phones are taken off them, we could not contact them. However, this morning it is confirmed that 14 people have now been deported to Zimbabwe, and as we speak, about an hour or so, they landed in Zimbabwe. There was some live feeds from Robert Mugabe International Airport of the detained the people who have been deported arriving in Zimbabwe. I think news media houses are reporting online on their arrival into the process at the moment. So they are now at the international airport, or maybe they are now being taken at the place where they will be quarantined, because they are going to be quarantined in Harare at a place called ZIPAM, ZIPAM. That's where they are going to do their isolation there.
So it's 14 people out of 50 who are supposed to be deported. So how did it come to that?
So it came to that number because people mounted legal challenges. People submitted judicial reviews, application for injunctions. They made new or fresh claims. And we also understand that at one of the detention centers, there was an outbreak of COVID, and some of the people came into contact with people who were positive. So I think those who were in contact with the people who were positive, we also had to be left behind, as per our understanding. That has to be proven again, but that has been stated by people who are detained at a particular detention center. So I think it is a shame, really, that it's 14 people who have been deported. They wanted 50 people. We wanted no one to go back to Zimbabwe. People should really leave the country in their own volition and will when they've planned to do so. But unfortunately for these 14, it was not the case.
So for those that have gone back home, what are the indications there? Is there anyone being, intimidated or any sort of that thing?
I think it's early times because it's just a few hours that they have landed. But I just watched a video on the newzimbabwe.com Facebook of two buses, a police car, maybe one or two police cars around and so forth. So, you know, if they're just, retainees, I don't really see the necessity of having police cars and so forth. That in itself can be intimidating to other people. So we hope that they will be safe back home. But anything else beyond that, we do not know.
Going forward, what is going to happen to some of those that are supposed to be deported? And we're told there were supposed to be 150 in total. So what's going on now?
So the agreement between the two countries is that every month, it should be either 150 or 100 every month, starting with people who have been convicted of crimes in the United Kingdom, and then ultimately coming to people that have breached immigration rules, who are not criminals necessarily, but who do not have a legal stay in the United Kingdom. Those people as well are going to be removed eventually. So it's going to be a monthly event for people that are in the United Kingdom. And we understand that for those who have gone home after they've been put in isolation, some are saying that they might be given some cash to start up there, but that again is not confirmed. What we advise people who are still in the United Kingdom is for them to prepare their cases. If they've got nothing pending, they need to make applications, strong applications, challenge the Home Office, and if it need be, go to court.
So all this is happening at a time when some people are supposed to be deported. Do they have any source of income, you know, in terms of you guys representing them?
If someone is does not have legal status to remain in the United Kingdom, since 2012 or before, they cannot work, they cannot rent a house, they cannot open a bank account, they cannot drive, they cannot access the NHS or medical facilities. Effectively, the law is to make them destitute so that they will leave the country. So they do not have anything, most of them. That then forces people, some people, to work using false names or false alibis, or some are then, made to work for peanuts by other people. They, made to work illegally, not having any rights at all. So most of them might not have anything that they've gathered over the years that if they've been here. They will be broke and poor and, in a destitute situation. So it's unfortunate that they've gone that way. Some might not have built themselves back home. They might have whatever they left 20 years ago is what is there, or maybe it has been destroyed over the years.
And the Zimbabwean government is saying that they are not going to intimidate or, you know, do anything to these people that are going back home. Do you actually have anything to say about that?
We hope so, that there will be nothing that will happen to the retainees. That is just a hope that we have, and that is the undertaking that they've done to the UK government, and we hope people will be safe. But even for those people that have been returned to Zimbabwe, we're just now considering that post their deportation, is there something that can happen? We have had in very occasional events and occasions where people have continued to challenge their cases, and the Home Office has been ordered by the courts to bring back some individuals from their own countries. So I think it's now a time to brainstorm and reflect and see if anything like that can happen, and hopefully by then a resolution could have been found.
And the British Home Office is saying that, they've got all the legal rights to deport murderers, rapists, and people that break the law. Is that not the case for these Zimbabweans?
That's quite an important question that you've just asked. Every community, every country has got a right to live peacefully and to protect its citizens. And where someone commits an offense, then especially serious offenses, then that is against public policy and that is against public interest. But it's a balancing exercise of where someone has committed an offense. There's a lot of factors to consider. It could be the severity of the offense. It could be whether it's a first-time offense, a second-time offense. When did that person commit the offense? Some of the cases that where there is young people who came to the United Kingdom, maybe aged 10, 11, to join their parents. Unfortunately, they then joined bad friends, and they've been convicted of, say, drug cases, or maybe some people who, because of being destitute, were then to use false alibis or false documents to work, trying to make a living. And then there's some people who have put some serious offenses as well. So I think it's the balancing exercise, it's the proportionality of public interest versus individual interest, rather than to group everyone with and paint them with the same brush. One can also argue that if someone has been sent to prison, then that is also paying back to the community or to the society because they've saved their time. And in most occasions, when someone is in prison, they are rehabilitated, they do certain courses which might help them to survive post-prison. So it's all a matter of trying to balance all those things. Not only is the issues of the convicted person important, some have got families. You have to consider the family, you have to consider the wife or husband and the children. They are going to live without one of the parents because they've been deported. The children are going to be affected socially, mentally, maybe economically, and so forth. So all those factors have to be taken into account.
And your last word, sir?
My last word to my fellow Zimbabweans in the United Kingdom is that please, as much as possible, try to stay out of trouble. I know that sometimes you might be convicted of things that you cannot avoid, but where you can, don't commit crime and try to live as good citizens. And for those who are in the situation, please seek legal help so that you can have your cases dealt with people, professional people who know what they are doing, and also to try to get experts to assist with your case, such as country experts, social workers, psychiatrist experts, and so forth, so that your case will be strong.